Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. Did I offend him? We have our roundtable panel here, and let me introduce them to you. We're ready for another day to talk about what is in the news and some. What is the proper phrase? I struggle with this, where I say like good stories, and they're horrible stories individually. Yeah. You know, they're like really, but meaty
it's
stories.
The big irony of journalism. Yes. Like the most horrible things, we go, wow, great story. Death, destruction, mayhem. Yeah.
But hopefully listeners understand when you say that.
Like, they don't.
There's
hate
a lot
us.
That, yeah.
No, they absolutely don't.
they don't get
all good news in the paper.
Yeah.
Right. So we have a lot of good discussion points today, I think. There are a lot of good issues to discuss.
I always like when you say we're delighted to have them, because I don't think there's any other aspect of my life where people say, oh, we're delighted to see you. Not students,
there's a
not
broadcasting
family.
Broadcasting lingo. There's a media columnist in the New York Post who constantly is talking about what sports commentators, what phrases they use, and say that the average person would never use those phrases.
Yeah.
So, but that's not to say that delighted is not a bad is a bad word.
And see, I don't even feel like I'm overstating it, because when you all walk in,
because otherwise you'd have
really
to do it
delighted.
All the time.
Because the alternative is you're sitting in here by yourself.
Absolutely delighted when I see each and every one of you. So let's talk about Google. Let's find out what's happening. Europe's highest court, said on Tuesday that people had the right to influence what the world could learn about them through online searches, a ruling that rejected long-established notions about the free flow of information on the Internet. A search engine like Google should allow online users to be forgotten after a certain time by erasing links to web pages unless they are There are particular reasons not to, the European Court of Justices in Luxembourg said yesterday. The decision underlying the power of search companies to retrieve controversial information while simultaneously placing sharp limits on their ability to do so. It raised the possibility that a Google search could become as cheery and as one-sided as a Facebook profile or an About me page. Now, so the words here, I guess the key words that we'll talk about, the first question, of course, is what do you make of this? And then the second question has to do with what particular reasons mean.
Yeah. Oh, well, I go first. I've been reading
yes.
this. This is a huge and juicy story. You know, working in Europe, I've seen this coming. We did a story, for example, once on a man involved in shady mafia-like deals. His father was a well-known general, a hero of World War II. So here, it would be second nature, would it not, to try to talk to the father about the son. And it was regarded in Europe as this huge offense. We had to argue with the reporter, the European reporters, to do the story. And it turned out she was right to resist it. This was seen as an unwarranted invasion of privacy. One had nothing to do with the other. The Europeans are very, very determined to keep secret. We saw it when the French president was cheating on one mistress, having an affair with an actress who was another one, and the newspaper got hold of it and ran it, and he sued and got quite far in a privacy suit. Things are private unless they have to do with your personal life. Now it's encoded in law. So I'm excited by that, because privacy is an issue that we overlook here in favor of right to know.
No, I think that Ira and I are going to duke this out.
Good.
But I want your opinion.
I want your opinion. Who do
first.
I side with?
I thought you were going to side with me. Now I'm not so sure.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right, Ira. I think I can bring her in here like a salmon, and then she's gonna side with me if I handle it just right.
All right, let's see if you can do it.
Okay, so I want to know whether you think that if something like this happens, the EU comes out with this decision,
right,
that there is this sort of privacy thing, and that Google has to, if you ask them to take it off, they have to take it off. That sets a precedent for Americans to start demanding the same thing.
It absolutely sets a precedent, and it isn't new. It's already begun here. California is already involved in discussions about whether kids can minors can take stuff off, like you have pictures at a drunken party, or you've been involved
sure.
in some. There's been a large movement to get that taken off already. This gives it huge impetus, but it will not be easy in the United States.
No.
This is a direct clash with the First Amendment.
Well, but before Ira goes, I just want to say God bless you, Rosemary. Now, Ira, go ahead.
Well, but I want to make sure that I'm on the same page with all three of you. As I understand this, what we're talking about here is taking down content that has been on the internet that Google, the great aggregator, is aggregating. And so that the information that they are now being asked to take down is part of the public record. It's not necessarily private in that.
It's not private at all. In fact, you would still be able to get the information.
Right.
You just could not do it online.
You're not even taking it down. And also, my understanding is that just people would not necessarily know it's there, right?
Correct. It would make it much harder. Old court records, old pictures.
But it's still physically there. There just isn't necessarily a way to get to it, right?
Then I just think if it's in the public domain, it's part of the public record, you can't let squeeze the genie back into the bottle. And, if you have control of your own site, if you're able to take something down on Facebook and it never to be seen again, I'm not certain that can happen, the fact that it can never be seen again, because once it's been up, somebody may have screenshotted it or something. But yes, you should have control over your own site and control what information you want up there. But if it is up there in the nether world, in the cloud, then Google, the great aggregator, should not have to take it down. All Google is doing is pointing to it.
It's interesting you say that, because the question then becomes, if you make Google do it, do you make others do it?
Yes, Facebook and everybody would have to do it. The position of Google is exactly what Ira said. We are just aggregators. We are not data managers. And the court said, nope, sorry, we disagree. And this is one of the joyful things about it to me, is that this is going to cost Google a fortune. Now they have to get every complaint that comes in has to be investigated. It may, in some cases where they disagree that it has to come down, be litigated. This is costly, expensive, hard to do.
Well, what kind of stuff are we talking
about?
Well, wait. I think Ira's point about the First Amendment is very relevant here, because if you read the New York Times online, you always get the blue part, right? So they'll give you an article, and then there'll be the blue part, and the blue part takes you somewhere else. If you click on it, it'll say a previous article or something that's done. So if you do it with Google, does that mean that the precedent is set for places like the New York Times or for other places?
Yes.
Is it your understanding from what we're reading here? Then let's use this as an example. Joe Smith is arrested for DWI. That is reported in newspapers including on a newspaper's website. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, 2 years from now, Joe Smith may have gone to AA and he's no longer drinking, whatever. That arrest record is still up there. Now, is that something that Google would be asked to take down?
Google would be asked to take down the link to that, possibly.
Yeah, see, now,
and in fact, the case in point was a bankruptcy. The guy did declare bankruptcy. He did go through bankruptcy. It's a point of fact. But he's now been a businessman for several years, successful. And his point was that it hurts me. Every time someone goes to check on me, that's the first thing they see.
Where is the story that says he declared for bankruptcy 5 years ago, but he's past that?
Well, it's in whatever newspaper printed it. It's in court records would have it. But Google cannot put up the link to that, to those connections.
Under this regulation. I'm saying if the original link was up there, they shouldn't have to take it down. It happened. The man filed for bankruptcy.
The court disagrees with
you, I understand. No, I understand. And the court in Europe disagrees with us, and hopefully saner heads will prevail in this
country. It's really very complicated because, of course, we live in a global world, so it isn't going to be like Europe can do it one way and we can do another. You're a European citizen, and you're saying to Google, which is what, an American-run company, mm-hmm. take it down. They must comply.
It is. I want to read a couple of... to have you react to these statements, a couple of statements that are made in the context of this article. But one of the things I find interesting about this is we keep on talking, especially in this country, about how we're in a whole new world, it's a whole new age, it's the technical digital age, and there's nothing that we can do about it. And they're trying to do something about it.
Right.
So I quote the great professor Victor Meyer Schoenberger, professor of Internet Governance at Oxford Internet Institute. Such a thing exists. More and more Internet users want a little of the ephemerality and the forgetfulness of pre-digital days, says the professor.
That's a great quote.
And quote, if you're always tied to the past, it's difficult to grow to change. Young people in particular do not want their drunken pictures to follow them for the next 30
years. So let's talk about pre-internet days. And a small regional newspaper in Kingston, New York, prints a story about a guy who's been arrested for DWI.
Mm-hmm.
And that article is clipped out of the newspaper by the librarian every day, and the clip goes into the morgue, and it is part of that person's history. Now that person, and perhaps it's a well-known person, that person dies. So the reporters go back to the what we call the morgue, and they pull all of the clippings out, and they say, okay, here's what this guy did, but in 1973, he was arrested for drunken driving. Now, that he may not, the reporter may feel that that's not worth putting in the paper given whatever else his life is, but the point is that that is part of the man or woman's record.
And you would still be allowed to do that, Ira. This brings you back to the pre-internet days where you find that clip or you find those court records because you're an investigative reporter and you've gone and hunted them down, or you're just a
beat
reporter.
But you're telling me, though, that the newspaper's digital account of that DWI arrest might be expunged from Google.
No. It would be expunged from Google. You would only find it by searching. In other words, you need professional reporters who know how to use courthouse
records. So you're saying you could still find it if you do a keyword search on Joe Smith, but it will take you to a specific site as opposed to Google, which will then make it easier.
Not even that, Ira. It would be gone. You would have to say, okay, this guy lived in Kingston. I'm going to go look in the Kingston courthouse and see what the records are. That's like the old days.
I just want to clarify. So, Ira, I'm posting a picture, I post on Facebook a picture of a friend of mine in my dorm who an odd drunken incident decides that he's going to use bottle rockets out of some part of his body, and I take a picture of that and post it.
I'm saying that if that individual wants to take that down off of his or her personal post,
but it's my page.
It's your page. Yes, but
it
is not his. So, but if it's no longer posted, then Google wouldn't be able to aggregate it. So, but I'm controlling what I want to. But I'm talking about content that is not been. It's been posted by a third party. That has already become part of the public record. You can't change whatever happens.
It still is part of the record. It's just harder to get the public record.
Well, then that defeats in large part the purpose of the internet, which is making the free flow of information much easier.
Exactly. Yeah, well, exactly. That's why this is a huge story.
Well, no doubt. But I'm much like one other story we disagreed with later. I'm surprised that you agree that this makes sense.
I do not agree that it makes sense. I agree that it's enormous.
Oh, and without question.
As a journalist, I hate it.
Okay.
I mean, I want to get all this information.
All right, Alan, you didn't lure her in.
It's like you said, this group is doing something. They don't like to have their privacy invaded on, and they have launched a court suit. There's actions in this country. We're going to see more and more of this. People do not want to be exposed as much as they really are.
It gets very complicated. Look, there are people who have really told, I'm sorry to say this, terrible lies about me. I mean, really. And they post it, and you know, you want to sue him, and the guy keeps himself asset free, and you know, and then you're going to have to get blood out of a stone, and it's not worth bringing it up again, and all the rest. So it really does get to be very hard, and every time I see this jackass, you know, coming up with another lie, I want to expunge him, but they're really, I think the genie is out of the bottle.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, if this is just about Google, does it apply to Bing?
It'll affect everybody. It'll affect this case, this specific case was Google, but the ruling would affect all of them. It's also scary when you think about what could be expunged that really is in the public interest. For example, trouble that George Bush had as a young man with drugs or with driving.
Or what about a pedophile?
Pedophilia. Yeah, those are still difficult records to get even
so
now.
As journalists, as you say, that's not something we want to have
It happen. Is not something we want to have. But we have worked through this before. We in this room, we began before there was an internet, and we got these kind of records. So it's not like it's the end of the world, but it's a big old change for the past 25 years.
Be interesting to see if you took a poll what people, the general population, would say.
I'm guessing they would be in favor of it.
Absolutely, but that's not unusual in media issues.
Absolutely.
Most of the time, the public is against the media.
But don't you think it would be...
Sometimes for good reason.
You know,
sometimes.
Kind of not in my backyard, but meaning if it had to do with them, they would be against it.
Sure.
But if it had to do with somebody else, then they're more than... Yeah, they want to know.
It's like
it.
The old story when somebody tells a joke about somebody. It's always funny as long as it's not about you.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know, I was thinking about this when I was reading the story last night about there's that iconic, and we've seen it over the last couple weeks because of the Monica Lewinsky story in Vanity Fair, of the archival tape of President Clinton walking down the line talking to people, and all of a sudden, and they always have it where she's there and it's brightened with her, and then she's smiling, and then she gives him the kiss, and then, you know, moves back into the line, and he goes. So that's the kind of thing that would normally, that you would say, okay, we're going to expunge that, we're going to take that. But that tape is part of that story.
Yes. This is all an American background, though, that we just say it's the story. It's in the public record. It has to stay. The European court, in this really unexpected, Google didn't see this coming, no one saw this coming, shockingly has said, no, the right to be forgotten. I just even love the name of it. It is something that journalists are going to be dealing with for a while.
I just want to read the we're out of time. We have to move on to other topics. But the best line to me in the entire article, if I can find it, in the second paragraph, is the final line of that paragraph that says the decision cannot be appealed.
Yeah, it's the highest court.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue with other issues. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Arameo, and Ira Fussfeld on the program this morning. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Put yourself on the record.
That is
posted it to our site, and we'll be back after this short break. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Arameo, and Ira Fussfeld here this morning. We welcome your letters as always. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We have letters. We're going to read a few right now.
Okay, Daniel says, all right, from Stone Ridge, I see a slippery, very slippery slope. This altering internet information is akin to our government altering history books in the past to change public view and opinion on government actions. Think American Indians or secret blacklist. The elimination of a drunken photo is just the start of a bigger, much more dangerous issue, and that's Dan from Stone Ridge.
That First Amendment is so embedded in us. It's great to hear it defended, actually, but...
Okay, and MLN says, have you considered what a bounty this will be for for data mining companies? They'll make a fortune. Interesting.
Good point.
Yeah, very good point.
They do that. Okay. Let's see. Christine says, I agree in principle with the criticism, but I think we ought to be thoughtful about how things become part of the public record. I'm troubled by cases like revenge porn, the identity of crime victims in an era when everybody's a blogger, etc. I'm concerned about who gets to make decisions to post, says Christine. And I believe that's it, except for Ira, a personal message. Ira.
You just want me to pick up a dozen eggs?
Yeah, a personal message for Ira, actually. And it was from somebody who wanted to memorialize Mrs. Fishler.
Oh, well, isn't that nice? Well, I just recorded the media project and I mentioned it, but for those who might be interested, Shirley Fishler, who was a columnist for us for over 30 years, died the other night, two nights ago, but was not just a columnist for the Daily Freeman. She was a groundbreaker in women's journalism and women's broadcasting. She was, in early days, a lot of sports. She was the first woman to gain entry into the press box at Madison Square Garden. This was in the early 70s. She also did talk radio on WABC in New York long before the Rush Limbaugh era WABC. She co-authored many books with her husband, Stan, who is one of the most prolific authors there is. He's written almost 100 books on hockey. But a groundbreaker in journalism, a trailblazer, and a very good person, too. And sadly, she had cancer, a second bout, and this one claimed her life two nights ago. But thank you for mentioning her.
Okay. So here's another one to Roundtable. if a person had their objectionable information removed from Google search, and then a reporter searches the actual files and writes a new, capital N-E-W, article in their paper covering the information, will Google not be allowed to point to this new article?
The exact rules of how this works have not been worked out yet, so that's a very good question. My guess is that they would post it, and the person would have to complain anew about taking it down.
And Russell writes a little long, says, I don't know the detailed rationale in the European Court, but I do know that Google is not just a neutral aggregator of information. The priority of items in a Google search response determines by Google's current logarithm, which I understand is proprietary. Whether John Doe's bankruptcy is on page 1 or page 20 and the response not included depends on the logarithm. Google's business plan and income depend on ads, and I believe on prioritary search results. Okay,
the court I think considered all of that when they decided, no, you're not just an aggregator; you have to obey this. So.
And Gary writes, "Good morning. The problem with Google posting arrest records is just like the newspapers will publish an arrest on page one, but when the case is dropped due to an unfounded complaint from a jealous ex-spouse or a business rival, the retraction appears buried on a back page. Neither Google nor even the local newsprint agencies make a distinction between an arrest and a conviction. Love the show," says Gary.
Well, there's a lot of generalizations in that comment. There are certainly newspapers that do give corrections or retractions less prominence, but not all. And my experience is that, particularly as it relates to arrests, if somebody is arrested and the conviction and it's been overturned or somehow the person is not even brought to trial, we want to report it as prominently as the arrest.
And the alternative is to not report arrests, and secret arrests are a huge
Absolutely.
Problem. You don't want
that. You can't
that.
Do that.
We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. The second U.S. patient to be diagnosed with a deadly Middle East respiratory syndrome, MERS, from now on, spent at least 4 hours in the public waiting room of the busy Florida Emergency Department before he was seen by a doctor, according to hospital officials. Almost 8 hours passed before staff at Orlando's Phillips Hospital determined that the patient had traveled from Saudi Arabia, where he worked at a hospital, began to suspect his exposure to MERS, and had him moved to an isolation room, the hospital's chief quality control officer said. My question is, how do you avoid that? I mean, I'm not giving them a pass, but I don't know how you would not, given the intake in a hospital and not knowing, is the first question you ask,
were you in Saudi Arabia lately? That's when they finally figured
right.
it out. I mean, he had flu-like symptoms. I mean, you would get a low priority of that.
A lot of people have flu-like symptoms.
Sure.
Right.
The guy himself is a healthcare worker, and he realized, he knew himself the danger. He knew he was in a hospital where he could have been exposed. He begins to feel sick on the plane, but you can just see this happening. He's saying, it's my imagination. There's nothing here. It's nothing.
Right.
It's nothing. And then when
it happens to other people, not
me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's just the flu. And then he goes to a hospital. So he did the responsible thing. But still, all those people who may
right.
be exposed.
In that waiting room.
In the waiting room. And
in the airplane.
Yeah, they don't. You're right. What is this?
Airplanes are incubators.
They are.
Yesterday it was global catastrophe from the ice everywhere melting. Today it's a pandemic. I feel like we're commenting on movie scripts instead
of the news. But you saw the Chinese, the bird flu.
Everybody was walking around with masks on.
Yeah, right. But they take this stuff very seriously because they know the potential. You know, I was thinking about this. When you go into an emergency room, there are certain clues you give them. They say, what's your problem? As soon as you get in, you say, chest pain. They say, okay, there you go. You're prioritized. You go right into the top of the line. Now, because of what we're doing here right now, and because of what's going on in the press, I have a feeling your question, Rosemary, is going to get answered, which is that there's going to be an intake triaging response based on the news reports of what's going on.
Correct. Well, it's interesting that he went to a hospital in Orlando, which probably was the best place he could have gone in the United States because it's right next to Disney World. Disney World. So they're used to having people from all over the world, and they look, they triage for these kind of exotic diseases.
Yeah, some of which are carried by mice.
And are they saying, as of right now, there is no cure?
But you know, the two patients are not going to die. It can lead to a fatal pneumonia, but if they catch it, they can treat it.
30%, I think, die.
Yeah, it's scary.
I feel sort of like I did when I was in PS 106 in the Bronx when they had fire drills or air raid drills and we all hid under the desk. I mean, it just, as you were saying, every day there's something new coming out and it's just like we should all be in the fetal position.
Yeah,
it's the only way
it's
we're
movie
not
scraps.
Get
it really is.
And if you're in the fetal position at home, you might get blown over by a tornado, which we're getting more of.
So it depends on our predispositions. You know, I mean, whether or not that we're a little bit paranoid or whether or not we're somebody who thinks.
Well, every time I get an ache, I'm Fred Sanford. This is the big one. So I'm under the heading of paranoid.
So, but how paranoid should we be as a society and as a country that and as globally that we can contain it, that we can contain this MERS?
We have smart people working on it. We can all do our part. Wash your hands. Get vaccinated. Vaccinate your children. Polio is back. How awful is that?
And when you go into a hospital now, they'll take a culture from your nose before they'll do a operation to make sure that you don't have SARS or MERS or something like that.
We have just a few minutes before we take another break. Where the hell is Casey Kasem?
Wow,
do we know where Casey Kasem, poor Casey Kasem?
He's making a long distance dedication.
Is that
why don't you explain A,
all right,
who he is, and B?
You know who he is, right?
I know he's a disc jockey.
Okay,
but that's all I sort of know.
All right, he's also the voice of Scooby Doo. I should know that, but also was one of the great radio icons, known for his countdown and request, and was certainly one of the highest paid and most well known disc jockeys in the in the country. He's 82 years old. He has been suffering from Lewy body disease, a common cause of dementia. And there is his family, his daughters in particular, do not know where he is.
But is there an ex?
Well, there's a family issue. His wife, I don't know what number wife, Jean Kasem, who was well known in her own right as an actress, a big, tall, striking blonde woman, was in a number of sitcoms, and there seems to be a dispute between she and the children.
And the children, and there often is, you know.
Yes, and as I understand it, the children were not allowed to come visit their father. She was preventing it.
Oh my!
And now the next story we hear is that she—well, we don't know if it's her, but the presumption is that she's squirreled him away to places where they don't—the others can't find him.
So sad.
Just,
that's more of the issue than Casey Kasem, whoever he might have been.
Yeah,
and or is
he hosted Radio Music Countdown America Top 40 and Casey's Top 40 for 50 years.
Yeah,
we folk Knicks did not listen to Joan Baez.
He had a moment, not exactly like, but similar to Donald Sterling, in that he had a famous tape that was widely played him losing it on the air when he was taping a program because his engineer screwed something up, and he went into an expletive rant.
And where are the pictures I asked for?
And was this as he was beginning to slide into dementia?
No, this was in his heyday. And so the outtake from that has been played. I suspect you could find it.
Was that
on Google?
No one's asked to take it down yet.
Did it make it to the air, Joe? No. But it's been played widely since.
No, and it was heavily edited. It was great. It was a very disgruntled engineer who was out to get Mr. Kasem and took it and edited it together beautifully, and it is one of the greatest pieces of tape of all time.
So it must be available on the.
Oh my God! I have it, and if not, I have it on my computer. I play it all the time. It's great.
But you know, sadly, again, contrary to what I just said, he's almost as well known for that as he is for all of his other.
Well, then there was Uncle Don. We all remember that.
Another, Uncle Don,
Tex Antoine.
And for those of you who are below my age, said that'll fix the little me, at the end of.
But that made the air.
Yes, and that was the end of his career.
Yeah, and that's what Tex Antoine, the famous Uncle Weatherby, who made a rape joke on
that. That was bad.
And what, Soupy Sales?
Soupy Sales was it, yeah.
He go urged, take the money out of your parents' wallet and send it to the
TV
station.
Well, I think that's reasonable.
Wow, I have to go home and look up all these rants now.
But anyway.
But one note, though, about this is a sad thing that's happening, that a man who was so great and mighty in whatever way we want to describe here has been brought so low by dementia. Happening to more and more families, and it's very sad. He's lost. He can't speak for himself. I feel bad about
that. And if I'm not mistaken, Lewy body disease. If again, I'm going to pick an obscure reference, but if you saw the cable drama with Kelsey Grammer, and the name now is escaping me. Joe, help me out. Where he played the mayor of Chicago. And in that series, that was the disease that he suffered, and he was trying to be the mayor at the same time, and he was trying to hide the fact that he had
Boss?
The disease. No, Boss.
Yeah, Boss. What
an excellent series. It got canceled too soon, in my view.
One of the things that I mean, as far as this case, you know, we can talk about it. This being like a celebrity case and so forth, but this went to court. The family said, "Well, we want to know where it is." The court has ordered that it be disclosed where he is, and everyone said, as who should know,
I don't know.
And it's an interesting.
It's not clear to me. Secret. Maybe it's been reported. Why the rift? Is it a money issue? Is it an inheritance issue? But again, it's a family issue, and it's sad when these kind of dirty laundry comes out.
So hopefully soon we'll find poor Casey Kasem. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up. We'll get some letters, and we'll also get a update on our lockbox challenge. We need $325 by June 2nd. How are we doing?
$325,000.
$325,000.
You said $325 if it were only so.
I would have written a check.
Yeah, you write a check right away. $325,000. And so we'll find out how far along we are in just a moment after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from the Brattleboro Retreat, helping people with mental health and addiction problems to make new starts. BrattleboroRetreat.org. Sunwood Builders, Amherst. Over 20 years of green and custom home building, offering home remodeling services and energy retrofits, working to save energy while maintaining design features. Sunwood-Builders.com. And Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington. Offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community. Berkshire.coop.
Good morning and welcome back to our discussion. Before we get some final letters and discuss, if we have time, another issue, we want to get an update on our lockbox challenge. $325,000 is what we need before June 2nd to get an incredible $25,000 in challenge money from Mr. Big. And Megan Finnegan joins us this morning, as she does each morning, to tell us where we are in that challenge.
Please tell me we're there, Megan.
I wish I could tell you that, Alan, but we're not quite there yet. We've got $165,246 in the lockbox.
But we need $325 to get the extra $25,000 for Mr. Big. Is that right?
That's right. We've got 19 days to raise $159,000.
Somebody said to me the other day, I don't think there is a Mr. Big. I think you guys are making this up. And I said, let me assure you that I have never lied. I never will lie. Spoke to the man himself, and he couldn't be nicer about the whole thing. But he's strict, and strict means strict. He had asked for $200,000 to get us to $325,000 in order to get that $25,000. Do you all know what $25,000? That's a lot of money.
I'd hate to give it back.
and had to give it back. Right. So we need to get to 325 by by June 2nd. And the ways to get in on it are easy, WAMC.org. You can also call on the phone.
1-800-323-9262. You can ask for Gretchen at extension 145.
And if there are premiums as well.
Sure.
Yep. There's the personalized WAMC mug. You can have your name put on it or your loved one's name or anybody else's name.
2 weeks later, you'll be married.
You can put that on the mug.
I love that commercial.
I'm still not sure that's an endorsement.
Excellent. Well, there's that. Any other information that will make the
well, there's lots of other great premiums, too, that you can choose from if you go to the website.
On the drop-down menu.
There's a full list of good stuff that you can get if you're not interested in the mug.
I'm all for premiums with Joe and Megan, but I got to tell you, there's really only one reason to keep this thing going, because you're listening to it, because you love it, because it's an important part of your life that's on in the morning, the noon, the night. I mean, it's an extraordinary experiment. It's better than anything else. And, you know, I just hope everybody will do something to keep it going.
We will get another update tomorrow. Keep going for the Walkbox Challenge, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. And you can also go to your telephone, 1-800-323-9262, and just go to extension 145. And Gretchen will take your pledge there as well for the Walkbox Challenge. Megan Finnegan, thank you very much. We look forward to another update tomorrow.
All righty. Thanks.
Thank you very much. So in our final moments, do we have letters that we want to get to?
Okay. Matt said, you know, if only 1,000 people who can afford it were to write a $325 check, we'd be there. Good point, Matt. And then Eric says on Casey Kasem, sorry for the spelling, was the voice of Shaggy, not Scooby.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, that's important. Yeah. Okay.
I love that we have listeners that know that.
Yes, yeah.
Mark, two things. One of Rosemary's gleeful reaction to the potential financial hit to Google. Is she shorting their stock or does she hate big American companies? And the other thing is, my understanding of U.S. bankruptcy law is that the record is expunged after 10 years. Turns out I'm wrong. It is expunged from your credit report, but not the public record. The laws are likely different in Europe. The point is here, still are records that can be deleted, juvenile arrest, for example, so that there are privacy rights that Google can override.
My prejudice is against Google, which takes all kinds of material from newspapers and from reporters and pays them nothing. So I'm glad they have to pay for something.
Well, they and all the other aggregators.
Yeah, and it's true this law will affect all of them.
What?
Did I
say something?
No.
Oh, okay. You were looking over here, so I said...
Oh, no, I was just waiting for the next letter.
Oh, I don't know that there is... Oh, yeah, here. Susan says, hearing the exposure to those in the Orlando hospital waiting room, I heard an NPR via WMC last evening about 7 p.m. that health officials did not think patient contracted MERS from his own most recent exposure just before boarding his flight back to the U.S. They did not believe yesterday that his symptoms could have come so quickly. Not sure if this is good news or bad news. P.S. I don't fly often, but seem to get sick each time I do, and I'm rarely sick otherwise. Susan, who is a supporter from Chester, New York, where everybody knows Mr. Dillon.
Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, no,
and
I don't.
Kitty.
And his kitty. I think that's it.
I think you can get sick from flying without even stepping on a plane. The experiences. I was telling Alan this morning about one my son is currently having, and it's just from the beginning, from the time you leave your house until the moment you finally get to where you're going, you can get sick in a lot of different
ways. So are you saying TSA makes you sick?
Oh, it's one thing after the other.
Oh, and now we've set ourselves up for the Rosemary Armeo Hour, where she will just go off on airlines.
I have to get
TSA.
This story from you, Ira. We'll
Excellent.
Talk later.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Take care.
Our pleasure.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.